Well, let me tell you a little something about me. When it's Saturday night, I need to blow off some steam. One, two, three, four!
So, not only did you convince me to watch Cabaret,
yeah,
but now, apparently, one of our listeners has watched Cabaret.
Yes, and as much as I love her, she has no taste whatsoever.
Wait, you're jumping the gun. I haven't listened to the voicemail.
Well, I have.
All right, well then let's bring everyone
shall
up to
we
speed
all listen then. To it?
Let's all listen to it together.
Okay.
Shall we?
Let's.
Hello, Scott. Hello, Daniel. This is Nessa. I'm I'm sending a voicemail in regards to the Cabaret. I had seen Cabaret via Netflix when they still sent DVDs through the mail. And I remember really enjoying it.
Well, you had taste back then.
And when y'all had talked about it on your show, I brought it up to Amy, and Amy said she hadn't seen it. So I rented it through Amazon.
Yes.
And
careful, Nessa. Be very careful.
I think you have to be in a specific frame of mind for it to make an impact.
Like the frame of mind that you would have been in when Netflix still sent discs.
That sounds like a logical conclusion to that.
Yeah, a logical conclusion to that. But all right, let's continue.
Oh, there's more.
That's it's a 42 second voicemail, I think.
And to enjoy it.
Oh, wait, no, we were only at 42 seconds. There's more. Even halfway done. It's not even halfway done.
And I don't think that Amy and I were in that mindset.
You don't have to be in a mindset to watch a movie. You either watch a movie and you like it, or you watch a movie and you don't like it. You don't need to be in a mind. Nessa, I know where you live, and I'm on my way. I'm on my way. Now, I've never met this Amy person, but yes. I would like to speak with her as well. So go ahead, play the rest.
Can you have Amy call us? Here's the thing, though. I will say that it is beneficial to be in a particular mood for a movie. Like if you're going to watch a comedy and you're just not in a mood for a comedy, right? If you're going to watch a drama and you're just
Mood a synonym for frame of mind?
Could be. That's what she could mean that.
Oh, okay.
Let's see what else. Oh, why aren't you playing?
Press the play button. It's the one that looks like a little triangle.
It's not playing.
Well, I will tell you from memory that it doesn't say much more.
I can fix this.
Just says nasty stuff about being in the right frame of Nessa, I swear. The depth of affection that I had.
Yes. All right. Hold on. I'm now re-picking it up here. Wait,
hello,
we're 42 seconds in.
Frame of impact. And to enjoy it. And I don't think that Amy and I were in that mindset. I don't remember why I enjoyed it so much the first
time. Because it's an excellent movie. It's an excellent movie. That's why you enjoyed it the first time. Something has happened to you, Nessa. You should investigate.
And, I mean, the music's great. Liza's fantastic. Michael York is just as handsome as can be, but it just...
I bite into a York peppermint patty.
Very lost halfway through it, so much so that I started like putting lamps together.
Oh, well, that'll help with your concentration and figuring out what the movie is all about when you're putting together lamps, Nessa.
Were they IKEA lamps?
What it is these damned kids and their attention spans. They have no attention spans. Because it's 15 seconds is too much. Go ahead, play the rest of it.
Things on my wall.
Yeah, good.
And
I got something for your wall.
I believe Amy asked me at some point in time, what the hell is going on right now?
Oh, that's yes. Good.
So that's good. That was Cabaret for us, but it inspired us to watch Liza with a Z, which I thoroughly enjoyed.
How did Amy feel about Liza with a Z?
Loved the camp. Loved the hell out of the camp.
I don't think I've seen Liza.
Yeah.
Liza with a Z is a concert performance of her show.
Of
Eliza just with, her, Liza, Liza with a Z.
She did a show called Liza with a Z.
Got yes.
Got it. Mm-hmm.
Very much enjoy you two together.
Well, you're not going to anymore, Nessa, I tell you.
Scott makes Daniel flustered and frustrated.
I like that part too. I love
that brings me joy for some reason.
Bless your heart. I love frustrating him, especially in the, when he's mid sentence. I love to start singing.
Bye. We have like just oh my God, I'm surrounded by sadists.
Bye, Nessa. Okay. Thank you for calling, Nessa. I'm sorry that you felt that you didn't get anything out of Cabaret this go around. But like I said, I think that probably psychiatric intervention is necessary at this point. Maybe just a talk or two.
What are your lamps? Are your lamps looking good though?
Yeah, did they really?
Bob
Fosse was spinning in his grave because you're putting together lamps during his masterpiece.
Isn't a Fosse a dance move? So he wouldn't be spinning, he'd be Fosseing in his grave or something like that.
Don't interrupt me when I'm talking, Daniel.
Whatever. You know, you seem cranky today, Scott.
Really? I wasn't I sat down with you.
Well, that's life will do that to you. What would exactly you do for a Klondike bar? Would that make you feel better? Like, do we need to give you a Klondike bar so that you're like happier and
in 1984, I barked like a dog.
So you sent me this video.
Yes.
Of your Klondike bar commercial from
1984.
What would you do for a Klondike bar? Yeah, and you barked like a dog.
I did.
Now, when you sent it to me, now you have to understand, dear listener, he didn't like email it to me or whatever. He just threw it into our shared Google Drive, and I stumbled across it. And
me not being pushy. See, I don't like to be pushy. I didn't email and say, Daniel, you have to what? Please, Daniel, stop talking while I'm talking. You have to. I wasn't going to email you and say you have to watch this. Watch this.
I had no context.
Oh, you're singing. You're singing in the middle of my sentence. Don't do that, Daniel.
I had no context for it. So I'm watching it and I'm like going, oh, I remember this commercial. Mm-hmm. And then it dawned on me, oh, wait, that's Scott.
That's me.
I didn't realize that it was you.
Yes, barking like a dog.
Barking like a dog. You talked very little in the ad.
Yes, because that's the way they did it back then.
You had one word, him?
No, I think I had. Did I? Is that it? I just said him?
I think that is. Oh my God. I could play it. Let's see.
Yeah, it's all facial expressions and barking.
Let's see if I can do this here.
What would you do for a Klondike bar?
Would you act like your dog? Him? No, thanks.
A rich, creamy Klondike?
Yeah, I said no thanks as well.
Oh, wait, maybe him? A pant. Like maybe
yeah, maybe
ice cream?
Well, maybe a pant.
Covered in rich milk chocolate? No bark, no bite. Now speak, doggy.
That is a very talented dog.
You know, he wasn't supposed to bark. Honestly, he was not. I was the one who was supposed to bark. But they used the take where the dog started barking as well. Because he started barking when I started barking. He was an absolutely precious dog. I fell in love with the dog. I wanted to steal the dog.
He looks a lot like Kurt Russell from the Shaggy D.A.
Yes, he does. And what's very interesting is they put... Because at that time, I had no gray in what was left of my hair. And they actually put gray in my hair to match the dog. Because the dog had little gray and little white. So they tried to make my hair match
my dog. It's like a sheepdog, right?
He was... I think he was a mix because he wasn't a purebred. But he was just precious.
Now, here's my question.
You have a question?
Does that dog still get residuals from that... ad? Do you still get residuals from that ad? I know the dog's dead, but
I'm nearly dead.
Drew explained to me how residuals for advertising works at one point in time, and I think you have like a cap, right? It's like after this point, you don't get any more from that, or?
Well, it depends on how it's run, how the contract was negotiated, and kind of crap that I never delved into because I had a husband who did it. Mm-hmm. I, of course, do not get residuals for that commercial anymore because it does not air anymore. If it were airing, there would be some kind of contractual negotiation about how much I would make for each airing or for a lump sum to air it a million times or whatever. But it isn't.
But it probably wasn't filmed, though. It was probably videoed, right?
I think it was filmed, as a matter of fact. Yeah, I think there was a film camera.
Do you remember that really weird time when HGTV started? You know, when we first started getting high definition television and there was like a crossover period. And so there would be, television stations that would advertise that they're in HD, right? That they're playing, shows in HD. And because nothing was filmed in HD, they would go back to... shows from the 70s and 80s that had been shot on celluloid film because they could upscale that to HD, because anything that was shot on video just didn't have the resolution to make it to, you know, you couldn't upscale it back in those days. So it was like you had entire channels of like a rebirth of Knight Rider and stuff like that because they happened to be shot on film.
I am so old that I remember when they would say Bewitched in color.
It was a big thing. But I remember that, yeah.
In color. Well, I saw it when it aired. And of course, we didn't have a color television set because my father was a cheap son of a bitch and didn't think that it was worth money spending on it. So we had black and white until, I don't know, until 1990 something.
Think about how we consume television, video, whatever you want to call it. Think about how we consume that today. And then, let's say that we had a 6-year-old, 7-year-old kid, and we were going to explain to them what it was like to watch television when we were younger. They would think that we were making it up. It's just like, no, you had to be at your house at a certain specific time in order to see what was on. You had three different channels that were all playing things that you wanted, so you had to choose which one you were going to watch because you couldn't, you couldn't record it. You couldn't, watch. And they didn't repeat them. Or if they did, it was irregularly repeated. Like it wasn't like...
Oh, you just completely froze. Is that me or is that you? Okay, now you're back.
Like, my computer hiccoed.
Okay, yeah, computer so that was you. It wasn't me. No, it's now I'm getting your connection is unstable.
Yeah, it's me again.
It's me again.
It's fine. It'll clear up.
Okay.
I don't think they would believe it.
It's the same as... Once again, I will go back to how old I am, that my parents used to talk about the radio and how people would literally sit around the radio and stare at it. And there's no image, of course. It's just sound coming up. But they would sit and stare at the radio. And I would, why would you stare at a box? Why would you sit and stare? Well, yes, we had three channels. Mm-hmm. And you had to pick very carefully.
Yeah, or if you were young like me, you didn't pick. Your family chose. So it's like I had to watch the fucking Love Boat because that was what my family wanted to watch on a Friday night.
I loved the Love Boat.
Here's the thing that I...
Love, exciting and new. Come aboard, we're expecting you, the Love Boat. Yes, Daniel?
Soon we'll be making another run.
Yes, sir. Yeah, the Love Boat.
Yeah, okay, what's the next word, Smarty?
Promises something for everyone.
You fucking knew that. I did not know that, yes.
Set a course for adventure, your heart on a new romance.
So the thing that I found interesting about the thing that sparked this whole thought process here, when you talked about Bewitched, is I remember at one point in time that
Nick at
Night...
See, I was just
going
to sing the Bewitched theme, but I didn't because you cautioned me to stop singing in the middle of your sentences before we began recording. And so
Bewitched, Bewitched,
you are a dirty bitch. Go ahead.
I think it was someone that once told me that the reason that there are lyrics for all of those songs from TV is because it was a way for the producer to get paid for being the lyricist of them. So it's like the lyrics to Star Trek, the theme song, were actually written by Gene Roddenberry so that he could get paid as a lyricist every time they played that theme song.
Did I send you the Nichelle Nichols singing Star Trek?
You did.
Yeah, okay.
Let's see. Was that that's this one? Was this a remix of it or?
Yeah, absolutely. It was for her album, Uhura's Greatest Hits. Go, baby.
Find the tune, baby. Key change. So yeah,
Uhura
the lyrics.
Sings.
But there are actually lyrics to Bewitched.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing, which is one of your favorite sentences, and I've got cootie eyes.
I still have to make my point about Bewitched, but yes, go ahead.
All lyrics were not necessarily written by the producers. Some of them were written by the producers. But yes, indeed, a lyricist and a composer both get paid every time a song is used. So, like, for example, Sherwood Schwartz wrote the Gilligan's Island lyrics. So he got paid every time. And I don't know about Bewitched.
Just Bewitched. Sit right back and you'll hear a tale.
A tale of a fateful trip, my aunt, that started from this tropic port
aboard this tiny ship.
The mate was a mighty sailing man, the skipper brave and sure. Five passengers set sail that day for a three-hour tour. A three-hour tour.
Oh, my God. Yes. Okay.
There's more, but I'll stop.
Yeah, that the weather started getting rough and stuff.
Tiny ship was
by the way, do you know the my favorite piece of TV trivia? Do you know the skipper's name?
Yes, Jonas Grumby.
Oh, very good.
Thank you.
And also there was the professor had a name also.
Professor Huntley.
Roy Huntley, yes.
Roy Huntley.
No, was it Hinckley? Roy Hinckley.
I think it might have been, no. Well, you know what?
Well, if I'm you know, sure. Give it, call us and let us know.
Yeah.
Because we're not going to look it up.
No.
Not after that internet snafu we had. All right. So my point that I wanted to make about Bewitched.
Bewitched. You are a dirty bitch.
Is that Nick and Knight ran this back-to-back weekend-like thing where they're like, you know, they had those theme weekends all the time. But the theme of this particular Bewitched weekend was they played episodes with the original Darren and the new Darren that were essentially the exact same episode.
Oh.
Just, you know, so it was the same premise, the same scripts, the same light. It was just different actors shot like 5 years later or whatever. And I was like, you couldn't do that nowadays because everything is on demand. And where it's like they could get away with it back then because who the hell had that original version of Bewitched recorded? There was no recorders. So it's like nobody remembers this show from 5 years ago before we were a big, huge hit. Now we can, you know, now we can just recycle that script and who cares because we're the number one TV show or whatever.
If you are a Lucille Ball fan, and you'll see I'm wearing a shirt with Lucille Ball as the grape crusher from I Love Lucy, you will note that her two incarnations later, Here's Lucy and The Lucy Show, there are a shit ton of recycled I Love Lucy scripts. Just, and it gets to the point where it's kind of embarrassing, but I don't like the two incarnations of her. I only love Lucy Ricardo and I Love Lucy. Isn't that interesting?
It is, because Superman showed up on that show.
Yes, in the original I Love Lucy. He did George Reeves.
Yeah.
On the little, what do you call that, ledge outside the apartment.
Yep.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
See? I know TV. I know stuff, Vera.
My name is Scott.
I know stuff, Scott. Yeah,
that's all right.
I realize that. Okay.
Yeah.
So you, thank you very much and all that stuff for that information. I you don't think it's interesting because this is your life, but all this kind of, you know, TV stuff and whatnot is just interesting to me. So,
well, some of it is interesting to me as well. I mean, especially if I can talk about myself, which I dearly love to do.
So you convinced me to buy an Instant Pot.
I did indeed, and I was so honored and proud that simply my recommendation, you went ahead and clicked
buy it now.
Yeah.
So I got my Instant Pot, and I... because of the coronavirus, whatever, we only shop like once every 2 weeks. And so I wanted to use it. So I needed to find a recipe that had largely everything that I already had. Right.
Yes.
So I found a recipe called crack chicken that I had almost everything for it. I didn't have the ranch packet mix or whatever. So I braved the grocery store to buy that.
Wow, you went to a grocery store just to get a packet mix of seasoning? That's pretty amazing. Now, I noticed the recipe. You mm-hmm. gave me a link to it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what that woman was making, but it wasn't crack chicken. Because crack chicken was.
She just doesn't shred it.
She didn't do, there was more that she did. And you can't, here, I'll get there in a minute. What happens when you're older, too, is too many thoughts will just completely shut down any ability to communicate. Saying that she made crack chicken, but the only thing she did was not shred the chicken, is like saying, I had a hot dog, they just didn't put a casing on it. You have to shred it because that's how all of those flavors get in and around. And crack chicken is incredibly delicious. I don't know what she was making. So give me your opinion so far of the Instant Pot?
So I've only used it that one time. I am actually going to use it after we are done recording here. I am going to bound down the stairs to my kitchen.
Wow.
And I'm going to be making a pork tenderloin in it. So we have a barbecue pork tenderloin from Aldi, and I'm going to be making that in the Instant Pot. Now, the recipe that I found online, I'm not going to do it that way, but let me go back to the crack chicken.
Was that a sound effect you just made?
It sucked. Do a good one for me.
Of rewinding?
Yes. And, okay, so I was going to make I made the crack chicken, and what I did not like about it was, and I understood why it was done this way, because, you know, it's an Instant Pot. It'll do everything. It will saute. It'll pressure cook. It'll blah, blah, blah. So they wanted me to...
Was that an imitation of me? Were you imitating me?
No, that's the videos that I was watching. Oh, okay. It's like, you know, so, you know, like the Instant Pot commercial.
Yeah.
It sautés. It makes pudding. It...
Listen.
Oh, I did go and start my car.
Did it turn over?
It did. My air conditioner no longer works, but my car did start up, and I drove it down the road. So
okay, yeah. I don't have to start the car because Drew took our baby girl into the vet today.
Aww,
she's okay. She's just having digestive issues, including shitting all over the bedroom floor, which was fun. But I digress. We're talking about the Instant Pot.
Was it the crack chicken?
Which all right, has so nothing they, to do.
All right, so the. They had me cook the bacon on saute mode in the Instant Pot.
Yes.
And then take it out. And then brown the chicken in the saute mode on, you know, after I rubbed the chicken with spices and then basically brown the chicken in the Instant Pot and then take that out. And then put the liquid in and then put the trivet in and then put the chicken on top of that and then the cream cheese on top of that with the ranch.
They had you put the trivet in?
Yeah. I think what she wanted was since she wasn't doing the shredded thing, she wanted like a nice crispy chicken. That's why
you're not going to get crispy out of the Instant Pot, but ahead.
So, anyway.
Do you want me to sing?
No. Okay. I didn't like that because I felt like I would have preferred, in hindsight, to have just used frying pans to cook the bacon and brown the chicken, because I could have done them both at the same time instead of like, you know, wait, now I have to clean this out and then reset it and then like, and then do that. And then now I have to clean that. And,
Who does the kitchen cleanup in your house?
I do.
Oh, so
while I'm cooking, I clean up. But then Zach cleans up after that. So if I were to use multiple frying pans,
yeah, you don't have to worry about cleaning them.
But if I am cooking.
You're leaving poor Zach to clean up your mess.
I used 18 fry pans to make I did the dinner in 5 minutes, but I used 18 fry pans, and now my little nubile prince is going to come, and he's going to clean up the kitchen.
Zach doesn't listen to this show, so it's okay. I can talk about that. So I would have rather have done it in frying pans. And in fact, the recipe that I found because all I want to do tonight is just pressure cook the pork tenderloin. But they're saying that I should brown it first.
Absolutely.
You know, sear it first. And I'm going to do that in my nice frying pan, I don't have to cut it into a weird, you know, whatever. I can just brown the whole thing on all sides without like digging down into a pot. And then I'm going to pressure cook it in the
About cooking a very tender piece of meat in the Instant Pot is that one of the things that the Instant Pot does very, very well is tenderize very tough cuts of meat. But when you're putting something like a tenderloin in there.
Cook me tender, cook me rare.
Touch me down my special hair. So it's going to be, I myself would not cook a tenderloin in the Instant Pot because it's already tender. I would do it on a grill because that's where you get the most delicious, unbelievable flavor from a tenderloin.
Mm-hmm. But I don't. I mean, I have a grill, but it's. I live in Florida. It's going to rain here in the afternoon. That's
oh man, you get rain. What is rain?
It's liquid sunshine.
Wow.
But yeah,
do it.
I mean, I'm going to do it.
Do it, and you'll see How long does it say to cook it for? And also, I think you're going to need to, this is going to be exciting podcasting again.
Ooh,
I think you're going to need to do a natural release and not a quick release, because when you cook your meat in the Instant Pot,
yes,
and you flip that little vent and the and it goes all quickly out, that meat, I love to talk about meat, that meat seizes up and gets a little tougher, as opposed to letting the pressure natural release, which takes about 20 minutes, and the meat comes out incredibly wonderfully tender. I never quick release my meat, especially at this age.
Well, there you go. You can do some Kegel exercises, and they'll take care of that.
Quick release.
All right, so I'll do that. I mean, the little card that came with it, they don't give you a lot of instruction with this.
You should have gotten a booklet. Didn't you get a booklet?
A booklet, but it doesn't give me much information.
No recipes.
It just says that, you know, for pork, I do it like, I don't know, like 5 minutes per pound or something. I pressure cook it for 5 minutes per pound. So you're saying pressure cook it is a 2 pound thing. So I like pressure cook it for 10 minutes and then let it release for 10 minutes.
Well, tenderloin is a small cut of meat. It's very small. So that's 10 minutes may be enough for it. But we need to switch subjects.
Okay, let's move on.
Because this is really laborious for me. So I can imagine the listener, the tens of listeners that we have.
Tens and fives and tens of listeners of this show. All right. So
you'll give a full report.
I will. And I'm sure it will be delicious. So, Scott.
Yes.
As you know, we are listed on iTunes.
iTunes.
Yes. And what we need for folks to leave us an iTunes review.
Review us. Review us. Please, please review us.
That helps us get seen by other people, and we're just trying to grow our little audience. That's all. So all you have to do, doesn't cost you a dime, just go to your iTunes there, search for our show, and then leave a review. And if you don't know what to write, Scott and Daniel are both whores.
But who are interesting to listen to.
I once almost hit Scott in a grocery store with a shopping cart, and thank goodness he survived.
Doo-dah, doo-dah.
Anyway, leave us a review, please.
Leave us a review.
Eons ago,
yes,
we had talked about, when we were talking about movies, I had mentioned that
So we ran out already?
We only had two things on the board.
Oh, that's it.
We only had two things on the board. Although, no, we'll do that later.
Oh, okay.
If you thought that was laborious before, now we're just getting into the
really
TV.
All right.
Many, many shows ago, we talked about movies, and in order to keep us from talking about multiple movies in each episode, we had pushed this topic off. You went and watched Galaxy Quest after I had asserted that that was indeed my favorite movie of all
Yes.
time.
And it was really, really good.
It is an amazing movie.
Drew and I watched. He had never seen it before. I hadn't seen it in a very long time. But we enjoyed the living, breathing fuck out of it. And I especially loved the head lead alien. I thought he was so hysterically funny.
So now, if you watch the...
And I love, love, love. Yes?
Alan Rickman. If you watch the documentary, Never Surrender, a Galaxy Quest documentary, which is also available on Prime, you will find out that the head alien there, the guy that did that, what was his name? He's a well-known character actor, but he has like a weird name. But anyway, that voice that he came up with, that... he didn't think he got the part, and then he went back in and pitched that voice... and that was actually what got him the part. So he was the one that originated that crazy voice of that alien thing. So whatever his name is, he did a really good job of doing that. But yeah, the documentary it came out last year. I think all of the surviving cast is in it, interviewed in it. So Alan Rickman is they have clips of him talking about stuff, but they don't, obviously they couldn't interview him for this film because he had died. But it was a really good documentary. This was a documentary that Zach and I went and saw in a theater as a preview thing.
Oh, when you can actually sit next to people.
Yeah, back in those old days when we could sit in a theater and not worry about, dying.
Cooties.
We went and saw this. So I would highly recommend, if you've already seen Galaxy Quest and you already know that you love it, then check out Never Surrender, a Galaxy Quest documentary. It's on Amazon Prime.
You may be talking to our listeners with that, mm-hmm. but if you're talking to me, I have to tell you, you used up at least you need to watch this cards, 12 or 13 of them, with making me watch Buckaroo Banzai.
All right. I didn't tell you to watch Buckaroo Banzai. That was something you did on your own.
Out of the goodness of my heart. And dear Christ, that is, 2 hours I'll never, ever get back, as they say.
You didn't like it when Peter Weller pulled out the piccolo trumpet and started playing in his rock and roll band, played his piccolo trumpet.
I am not a Peter Weller fan, nor an Ellen Barkin fan. I can't believe that we're talking about Buckaroo Banzai again. This is, don't we have some modern day topics? Don't we have some stuff that's going on in our lives that we can talk about? Isn't there?
Sure, we do. I we can.
Well, I think we should. What's,
what, huh? Hey, what are they?
I don't fucking have any idea. Well, I can tell you that my husband had a successful eye surgery on the, was it his right or his left? His right eye.
He's out driving right now?
Yes, he's out driving.
Okay, no. If you're in the Woodland Hills area, please be cautious.
Careful of a man with an eye patch. No, his eye patch came off the next day, and he is seeing, he got both. This will help. He has a rare form of glaucoma called pigment dispersion. And what actually, this is how sucky my poor husband's life is. I mean, he had the childhood of Dickens, and it was worse than any Dickens novel. And then he has all these physical ailments that really suck. And it's an unusual form of glaucoma. The color of your iris, the pigment that colors your iris, actually flakes away and clogs the pressure draining tubes in your eyeball. And it's called pigment dispersion. So one of the things that he had done is that he had new tunnels drilled into his eyeball so that the pressure will release. And he also had cataract surgery to remove cataracts that he had. So it was, and they did his right eye, and it's great. And he's seeing things that he never saw before. And he's saying, did you know that you can see between the trees out the window? And I'm, yes, Drew, I've been seeing the trees out the window for many, many years now, right between them, and there's a tree right in there. And he says it with great fascination, but I love him and I let him speak. And tomorrow, Tuesday, we're recording this on a Monday to break the illusion. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, Tuesday, he will be getting his left eye done. So when you are listening to this podcast, he will be home and patched. His eye will be patched, but it will be removed the next day. Okay. So that's going on. And then you add that into the fact that we have a dog who is having terrible digestive issues, because this is more exciting than shitting.
All right, but you live in Woodland Hills, California.
Yes.
And
the surface of the sun.
All right, but aside from it being the surface of the sun, there is something very unique in Woodland Hills, California.
And euphonious.
I'm curious if you've been there. It is the Amazon contactless store, or the Amazon cashierless store. It is in Woodland Hills. Have you been there?
Never heard of it.
So Amazon is piloting, trying to prototype the future grocery store where you just pick things up, put them in your basket, and you walk out, and it's just charged automatically to your account. It's like you don't have to check out or whatever. It knows what you have in your basket.
Rife with danger.
Just goes on, right? It hits your Amazon account and just charges you, right? So the pilot store for that is in Woodland Hills, California. I heard this on a tech podcast, and I was just like, oh, I wonder if Scott has been to that store. And you haven't.
No, of course, I don't leave the house. Plus, we are under an excessive heat warning until Thursday.
Excessive heat? What is that, such a thing?
Really? You betcha. Excessive. When you ask the weather, Let's see if I can get my device here to tell the weather. Just a moment, and we'll listen. Okay. What's the weather?
Oh my God, are you still whining about the weather? Yeah, there's a heat advisory. Get over it. The temperature outside is 93 degrees, which is perfectly acceptable for most humans. The sad part is you won't actually hear me say this until you listen back to the recording later.
Now that's cool.
How is 93 an excessive heat warning?
Because it's going up to 105 and 106, and it was 103 yesterday. So just because it's 93 now doesn't, and it's on till Thursday. So this is exciting. It's just exciting.
We've covered the gamut here, haven't we? The gamu. We've talked about the weather.
Yes.
We've talked about our pets. We've talked about we are two old ladies.
Yeah, pretty much.
Doing a podcast.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know what?
What?
I have another thing that I would like to talk about.
What is
but
it?
I think it's going to have to wait till next time because it's a bigger conversation than we can cover in the remaining 2 or 3 minutes that we have here. However, starting tonight, is the Democratic Convention on Televiovision.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Unconventional Democratic Convention is what they're calling it. It's going to all be done with some kind of technical wizardry where they're going to try to emulate the feeling of a crowd by bringing in hundreds of different people over Zoom at different times to watch and react to things live as the people are speaking. And so I'm very curious to see how this is going to turn out. Have you ever seen those big virtual sets like they used on The Mandalorian?
I have not seen The Mandalorian, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, they've used them in some other movies also. It's basically humongous walls that are 8K video monitors that basically they put the background there so that they can shoot it on location and they can just, they don't have to green screen it. They can just put it in there.
Wow.
And then the actors can react to it and they can match the lighting to it and whatnot. So it's like they can film it as if they were on location. So a lot of that stuff is being used quite heavily right now because the new normal here, right? You can't have, depending on where you want to shoot in different locations, you can't really go there because there's no way to socially distance and people aren't going to let you in there. And
social distance.
I'm gonna cough on you.
Wow. How come you know that song?
The Beaches? It's from Beaches, right?
From a Distance is from Beaches?
Wind Beneath My Wings.
That's Beaches.
I know Bette Midler.
Well, actually,
she's a friend of mine.
It's a Julie Gold song sung by Nancy Griffith in the beginning. And then Bette sang it later.
I know Bette Midler's version.
Okay. The Democratic Convention.
Democratic Convention runs this week, so make sure you check it out, and then we can talk about it next time. I know that I'm dying to ask you this. This is just a spoiler alert. Dying to ask you of what you're thinking of the Democratic ticket and some of your quirkier thoughts on that.
There's no spoiler alert. I can sum it up in probably a sentence, and that is, I don't care if it's a washing machine that runs against the orange shit stain. I'll vote for a washing machine. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me at all who is on the Democratic ticket. It doesn't matter.
Okay. And that's fine. That is perfectly valid.
My husband is very happy with the choice. He wanted that choice. He is most specifically excited about watching the debate between P.P. Pence and she, and to watch her devour him, as hopefully she will. But
he will not eat dinner with a woman because of the appearance,
the possibility
of him prior
that he's going to fuck her.
He's not going to show up on stage. He's like, there's not another male on the stage. He's like, they'll have to bring in like a third candidate to stand between
them. Chaperone.
It's like, and this question goes to the chaperone.
Mm-hmm. Can you smell that he shit his pants? Pence has done a poopy.
All right, fine.
Yeah.
You know what? We'll talk to you next week. It'll be great. We'll get our shit together and everything. But thank you very much, Nessa, for calling. We really appreciate it.
And
if you want to call us, then make
mental health intervention regarding cinema.
And if you know some good Instant Pot recipes, you know, yeah, hey. send them our way. All right, Scott, as always, it's been a pleasure.
Oh, that's stretching it.
Then I'll talk to you next week.
Bye now.
Thank you for listening to That Darn Elvis. If you would like to contact the show, you can email us, contact@thatdarnelvis.com, or send us a voicemail by going to voicemail.thatdarnelvis.com. You can always find us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thatdarnelvis. On Twitter, Scott is @AuntieVera and Daniel is @DanielBrewer. As you disembark, remember that this podcast is traveling at the same speed as you. Please watch your step. Thank you.
This show is a proud member of the Pride 48 Podcasting Network. Check out more great shows at pride48.com.